John Jolie was an early experimenter in the field of colour photography, a Trinity professor. He created the Jolie screen process, but like many inventions and inventors, he and his process were gazumped by less complex methods. As a result, Jolie has been forgotten by many, but not by my next guest, the artist Alan Phelan, whose current exhibition in the RHA, Folly and Diction, not only brings Jolie's story to life, but also recreates the photographic process he invented. I suppose I have to get you to explain this process, but as I said to you just before we started, Alan, you have to do it in a way that we don't lose the half of the country. Right. What's involved in what he essentially took black and white photographs and turned them into colour?
Yeah. Well, it's an additive colour method. So it's, if you think of red, green and blue light, when you mix them, you get other colours. You get cyan, magenta and yellow. So that provides the full spectrum. So the process is uses a colour filter made up of red, green and blue stripes. So that's a screen that goes in the camera in front of the film. So when the picture's exposed, the light goes through the stripey screen filter and burns that light that colour register onto the black and white film. So then when you process the black and white film and you reverse process it, you make a positive. So it's a transparency. And you put that same screen in front of the black and white image, you get colour.
And not only do you get colour, but if you're walking, as you can do with the way your works are exhibited in the RHA, if you're walking past them, the kind of the colour will change.
That's right.
In the way of those, you know, little plastic lined,
like those
transfers that we used to have as children, that you turn it one way and you see one bit of the dinosaur, you turn it another way and you see another bit of the dinosaur.
Well, it works the same principle as those lenticular images, in that that's based on strips of the picture being broken up. So you've got two sheets of the photograph, which is a transparency, so it's backlit by an LED, is composed of two sheets of film. So they're right on top of each other, but the thickness of each means that the light kind of, you know, wraps around the other colours, and you get this amazing colour shift. So you also get these really cool shifts between, like, green and purple will flip, and it makes them, you know, a little bit interactive, considering they're completely analogue, you know.
you can walk around them and get kind of a different viewpoint. Now, what was the role in the midst of all of this of the Dunboyne Flower and Garden Club?
Well, I was very lucky to get funded by Creative Ireland, who I was told to mention, for a project working with them. And the opportunity just arose to apply for this funding to work with a community group. And I had previously worked with Dunboyne Flower Club members over the last 10 years, actually, on different projects. My mother's involved with that, and so it's sort of, you know, connected to the family in some respects. And I got to know some of the women in the club and brought them to exhibitions. So I had a relationship with them, and then had the opportunity to apply for some funding to work with them on this project. And so for the last couple of years, I've been trying to develop a film and photographs with the project, but it's pretty expensive because it's analog, it's black and white film, lots of chemistry, lots of hand processing, huge, big, large format camera. It's all very cumbersome. And so you just needed a chunk of money to cover the costs.
And to what extent did you simply get the members of the club, the Dunboyne Flower and Garden Club that we're speaking about, did they give you still lives to work with, or what was their input?
So my proposal to work with them was based around taking the history of flower painting and recreating that with the Jolie process. So working with them to recreate historic flower arrangements from famous paintings, like stuff that's in the National Gallery, or anyway, there are lots of famous names and quite familiar flower arrangements, and then try to get them to recreate them, which is very difficult because it's outside of their normal rules and experiences. So I shared with them how to take the pictures and the Jolie process, and they showed me how to do the flower arranging, and we kind of worked together over 6 or 7 months.
But that's interesting. So you might have taken a classical, you know, still life arrangement from one of the painters in the National Gallery and said, let us now try to recreate that vase of flowers in real life.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it was difficult initially because it takes, you know, it's about a 3-week process of identifying the flowers, trying to find what's in season, and then actually finding flowers that actually are maybe not in season, but they're the shape and maybe the colour. And we ended up faking a lot for photography because it's a photograph and it's just like painting. You can make a lot of stuff up. So we ended up actually painting flowers, like painting tulips different colours to make them
pretending
match what was in the painting, in some respect. But they're not They're not dogged copies. They're kind of really good approximations.
Yes, yeah. But I presume that it wasn't, you weren't looking for a dogged copy. You were looking for something else.
I mean, the point of it was really to sort of give the photography process a visual history that it never had, because it was never really used. It kind of failed rather rapidly after it was invented because it was so difficult and it was so complicated, which I found out is totally true because it is really hard. But you do get this lovely stripey effect. And because the colour palette is quite limited, because of the red, green and blue lights or lines,
yes,
you do get this lovely kind of antique-y kind of look, which is a little bit accidental. But
you were saying to me just before we came to air that the Joly Café in the National Gallery is in fact this same family as John Joly.
Yeah. He was an extended family.
But he was a physicist.
Yeah, and a geologist as well.
So, I mean, was photography just a hobby, or was this
it was just one of many things he invented. He was involved in radiology, discovered a whole bunch of different things, and has published over like almost 300 papers and books during his lifetime. But really interesting, he's kind of somewhat forgotten. He's sort of a really interesting guy, really interesting scientist, discovered lots of different things, but never really won the Nobel Prize enough to be remembered. He did win a big medal in the RDS and is remembered there quite significantly.
And what sent you off on, seeking out this, particularly this process? Had you heard about it or what?
Well, a long time ago, when I was studying in the States, I studied photography in Rochester Institute of Technology in upstate New York and worked in the Eastman House Museum for 2 years after that, and work experience after my master's. And the Eastman House is like one of the earliest photography museums in the world, and it has a bit of everything. So I kind of came across Joly stuff there. That's like 25, 30 years ago. And then recently kind of got reminded of him through a conversation with somebody and then went looking for his stuff again.
Had you moved away in some ways from that early training in the field of photography? Had you moved away from that in your artistic practice?
Yeah, well, I just always found photography really, I found it really difficult. It's like that sort of crisis of learning too much about something and then you being kind of constipated by the sort of choices that you have to make and the difficulty that you've kind of, that you're now aware of. So I kind of included photography in a lot of what I did and referenced it, but never really did a pure photography show like the one now. So it's been great to actually go back to it.
So in some ways, knowing a little bit, knowing too much about it kind of kept you away from it because you thought, if I can't do it at the cutting edge, I don't want to be able to do it. Was that it?
I mean, there was lots of things that just turned me off, and I just found it that I didn't have a good enough idea. I just thought that sculpture and installation work was easier and video making was easier and more interesting, and it could fulfill the things that I was interested in art better than photography, because I found photography too limiting. You know, it was, you've got this sort of very serial kind of pattern to photographs, and there's there isn't so much now. Photography is much more expanded and it was very constrained to the frame and the wall, and I wanted just to do more with art.
And briefly, there is a video that's part of the, there is a video work that's part of the
there is, yeah,
exhibition
there's a,
as well.
Yeah, which brings the kind of Joly process up to date by having, it's based around a music video and the tropes of a music video, and it has audio responsive stripes, so they don't just sort of flicker as you move, they kind of dance around to the music and the lyrics of the song.
All to be seen if you visit the RHA. That's Alan Phelan speaking to me about his current exhibition, Folly and Diction. It runs at the RHA Gallery in Dublin until March the 27th. RHAGallery.ie.